Well, good evening. Just to let y'all know here the next few weeks, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 8, 9, and 10. And hopefully you will read through those. And I know that probably some pretty familiar passages to you that are in those and some things that are happening in there. But that's where our focus is going to be, in Matthew chapter 8, 9, and 10. And tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 8. And so a couple of weeks ago, Brother Josh preached. And he preached out of Joshua. And, one of the scriptures that he used in Joshua was 24:15. And it says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that got me thinking, who do you serve? Who do you follow? God. It's good. Good. But that got me thinking, we have sitting on our fireplace, it's a little board thing the lady at my wife's work gave her that says, "This house serves the Lord." And I sit there on the couch sometimes and I look at that. And I smile, not because we're serving the Lord, but have I done that today? It is a huge reminder for me that is sitting on my mantle in white distressed wood. And each little board says, this house serves the Lord. And it reminds me to serve God. And I'll leave and walk out, and sometimes I forget that that's there. And so my question to you tonight is who do you serve? Who do you follow? We're going to look at a few things here in chapter 8, but our crux of our discussion is going to be the follow me interludes that are in here. And so if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 8, verses 18, and stand when you find your place there, we will read the scripture. Verse 18. "And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came to and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead.'" Brother Ken, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. You know, some of the greatest words that Christ said was, "Follow me." And we go back and we look in chapter 8, and there's a lot of things that happen here, a lot of miracles that happen throughout these chapters. But in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, "When he had come down from the mountains, a great multitude followed him." Can you imagine that? Just people following you everywhere you went? Would anybody enjoy that? No, it would drive me insane. Sometimes you look at your children and go, "Can you just give me some space? Can you just back off just a second? Let me turn around without getting hit." But great multitudes followed Jesus to hear what he had to say and to see what he was going to do next. In verse 2 it says, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" If you're willing, you can make me clean. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled a little bit. When Jesus heard all the things that he had to do here, he marveled a little bit. Sorry, it's not verse 2 where I wanted to go. It's the centurion servant there. But in the first thing, he had a man come to him, and if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then we come to verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered the Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another come, and he comes, and my servant do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled it, and said to all of those that followed, to everyone around him that followed, he said, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So my question here, what does it take to follow? Well, Jesus said, I haven't found such great faith. It takes faith to follow Jesus. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what did it take? Faith. It takes faith to follow Jesus. Is your faith strong enough to follow Jesus? This is a good question, right? Is your faith strong enough to follow Jesus? And so we get to the scripture that we read tonight. Start with verse 18. And a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Anybody said that? See, this man had great desire to follow Jesus. He had a great desire to follow Jesus. In verse 22, the next man that came and said, there was another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. What a request to tell Jesus to hold off for just a second. Let me go take care of something that's special to me, and then I'll follow you. You have great desire and a great request. And in Luke 9, it records the same interaction, but this time it adds another young man in Luke 9. And if you want to turn over to Luke 9, we can look at that for just a second, because I want to read that. Luke 9, verse 23. And then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his own glory and his Father's hand and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death, but see the kingdom of God. Right before that, Jesus says this. He lays down the conditions to follow him. He lays down the conditions in Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Definition for desire is this. A strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. There's nothing wrong with having a desire. We all have desires, right? And there's nothing wrong with having desire. But if we desire things that do not bring honor and glory to God, it becomes sin. And Jesus said these three things that you should do, these conditions to follow Him. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, you've got to have a desire to follow Jesus, right? You've got to have a desire. And He said this, let him deny himself. You have to deny who you are. And your desires, your needs, and your wants. And he says, take up his cross daily and follow me. So the three things that he laid out in conditions is a desire to follow him, a denial of yourself, and a discipline of yourself. Some days I have desire to follow Jesus. Some days I don't deny myself enough to do that. Some days I do not have discipline enough to do it. And if you think about yourself, I'm sure you would fit in that same place too. I know there's nobody sitting in here going, no, Brother Kelly, I'm good. I have desire, I deny everything that I want, and I discipline myself and follow God every moment of the day. Anybody want to raise their hand and say that? I can't. I don't want to. Because I know I'd be lying and wrong. With that discipline, it comes a commitment to follow Christ. When he looked at the young man and told him to go sell everything you have and then follow me, that was tough. Because he didn't want to make a commitment to follow Christ. A lot of people have desire to follow him, but the commitment is not there. And so our desire should not be greater than our own willingness to follow Christ. I'm going to say that again. Our desire should not be greater than our own willingness to follow Christ. All of these people that came and Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I don't have any place to lay my head. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go, but I've got to go take care of my dad first. That's not what he said. He said, follow me. We have a desire to do some things, but our willingness is not there. And if we're all honest, we have the same mindset as these three. The emphasis that they had was me first. They had seen the many works that Jesus had done in chapter 8, healing the leper, the centurion's daughter, Peter's mother-in-law healed, many others were healed in the evening. But there was a cost to discipleship. But they wanted their priorities to come first. They would not deny themselves first. The first had trouble with that. The second was concerned about funerals and other things that were going on. And the third young man that was in Luke had eyes in the wrong directions and he could not follow Jesus. And so our desire, the things that we want, the strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen has to be different than just hoping it happens. We have to follow Jesus. The second thing is the priorities that hold us back should be the ones that we let go. Nothing is wrong with having priorities. Nothing. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have priorities and still hold on to them and follow Jesus. But if your priorities outweigh what you need to follow Jesus with, you need to let them go. You need to let them go. But, Brother Kelly, my kids have me tied up and I got to do all this. I didn't say let go of your kids. Raise your kids in the admonition of the Lord and train them right. But if priorities that take you away from Jesus, let them go. That's what Jesus was telling them. Look, you've got all these other priorities, but you need to let them go to follow me. He's not asking for a half-hearted follow. He wants a whole, 100% follow. So why was it difficult for these to follow Christ? What Jesus taught his disciples and the multitude had done them little good. It had done them little good. They had seen everything. They had wanted to see more, and they wanted to follow him. They saw all that Jesus did, listened to his words, and spent countless hours covering the steps that Jesus walked. But they lacked a few things. They lacked power. They lacked love. And they lacked discipline. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul was talking to Timothy here. In verse 7 it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Paul told Timothy in chapter 8, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed of following him. And he said in verse 12 that Paul understood the cost of following. And there is a cost of following Christ. And it's those three things that I told you up there a while ago from Luke 9:23. We have a desire, a denial, and a discipline. difficulty is the same today as it was all those years ago. If we today lack spiritual essentials, we can never truly be His disciples. But they are available to us from God. God gives them to us. Paul said, told Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of hiding in the shadows, of giving a half-hearted effort, but He gave us a spirit of power. He gave us a spirit of love and a self-discipline so we could deny who we are, have a desire to follow Him, and make a commitment to that. So I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 8 at the very, very beginning here. So what does it take to follow Jesus? Who said it? Faith. What does it take to follow Jesus? Faith. It's simple. If Jesus says, follow me, all these people that looked at Him and said, Lord, I got other things I got to do, but I really want to follow You. I really want to be Your disciple. I really want to do exactly what You want me to do. I want to walk in Your steps, not just see all the things that You've done, but literally take a hold of them. You see, it's simple when we think about it. All it takes is faith to follow Jesus. He said, follow me. For many of you here tonight, you have placed your faith in Jesus. But the question remains, how much do you follow Him? Good question, right? Not a question I'm asking you, it's a question I'm asking myself too. Just because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, what am I giving up to follow Him? What have I given up in my life to follow Him? I've gone after everything that I've wanted to in life. I've gone after promotions, jobs, whatever, you name it. That's what everybody goes after. They try to reach and gain as much as they can. But has that desire to chase those things kept you from following Christ? You know, I've met a lot of young people in my time, college students and those who have decided that, you know, the Lord's called me to preach. But I'm not going to go do this because I want to go do something else. Lord's called me to preach, but I want to go do this. Why? God said, go preach. Follow me. And some of y'all, it may be just as simple as God told you to speak to the person that you're working with about Jesus. And you said, no, it's going to cause too much trouble. It's going to cause headbutting and people are going to get mad. Why would you not do it? Jesus said, follow me. Simple things in life that we look at and God says, hey, this is what it takes. I've given you power, love, and self-discipline. That's what you need to follow me because you have faith in who I am. So how much do you follow Him? How much do you trust Him? If I ask you right now, do you, Brother Dale, do you trust God completely, 100% in everything that you've ever done in your life? Yeah. And I could ask Lance, do you trust God 100% with everything that's happened in your life? I could go through and ask every one of you the exact same question, and I'm going to get the same answer. Jesus said, have faith in me. If you're going to follow me, trust me. You know how to do that? 100% commitment to Him. That's all Jesus was asking. Just commit to me. I've committed everything to you. I left my home in heaven, came to this earth, and walked here with you. Suffered through the same things that you suffered through. I've committed my life to saving yours. So how much do you follow Him? How much do you trust Him? How much are you committed to Him? For those of you here tonight who have not placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that, Brother Dale, that you come and we sing that. This is your first opportunity to take the first step to follow Jesus, to be a follower of Christ. What a great thing it is to know that these people, these three young men that came to Jesus and said, look, I want to follow you, but I got other things to do in my life. And Jesus said, put all that away. Put it away. And just follow me. I know it's not a simple thing to, if I was to walk out of this building tonight and say we're going to go downtown and we're going to go find people and we're going to witness to them. Anybody get up and follow me? Maybe some of you would. Some of you look at you and go, you're a nut. Why would you go do that? Well, if that's what Jesus told me to do, then that's what I need to go do. We all may not agree with everything that we all do in life. How we serve Jesus, we may not all agree. But the great thing is, if Jesus told Brother Michael to serve, Brother Michael, you're going to follow that, right? If Jesus tells Sister Judy that you need to come cook meals on Mondays for college students, you're there, right? If Jesus says, follow me, what's your answer? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. If Jesus says, follow me, have faith to follow Him. That's all I'm asking you for tonight, is to have faith to follow Jesus. You may not know Him as your personal Savior, but it takes faith to follow Him. Faith in what He's done. In the virgin birth, the sinless life that He lived, the death on the cross, and then putting Him in the grave, and Him not staying there and sitting at the right-hand throne of God waiting for the command to come back and get His children. You see, even Jesus Himself follows the Father. Follows His will and does His will. And I'm waiting for that day when He comes back. Because I want to live a life that I'm following Him with. Not one that I'm going, Lord, you know what? I got this to do today, but tomorrow I'll get right on that. You know how many times I've done that? And you know how many times I've failed? Every time I did it. And so today, my prayer is for you. If you're not following Christ and you know Him as personal Savior, stop whatever you're doing and follow Him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, stop whatever you're doing and follow Him. Let's stand. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for allowing us to come to You in prayer. And we thank You for all that You've done for us. Father, it's great to know that You have given us things that we need. The ability to love others. Father, the ability to speak to others. Father, let us never be ashamed of who You've called us to be. Father, help us every time that You say, follow me, that we load up and we go. Father, I pray for this church that You will continue to lead her. You will continue to direct her. And Father, when You say follow, that they will be willing to follow. Father, I love You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.